Why should the university be obligated to provide food to people who've taken over a building?
First of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
But you mentioned that there was a request that food and water be brought in, unless I misunderstood.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
But they did put themselves in that very deliberately in that situation and in that position. So it seems like you're sort of saying, we want to be revolutionaries, we want to take up this building, now would you please bring us food and water?
Nobody's asking them to bring anything. We're asking them to not violently stop us from bringing in basic humanitarian aid.
They're stopping the delivery of food?
We are looking for a commitment from them that they will not stop it violently.
But they haven't stopped it.
I don't know to what extent it has been attempted, but we're looking for a commitment.
I love the welfare revolutionaries. I love the people who are like, we're so tough and we're out here. We're protesting. We're rioting. We're so tough, but can someone please bring us a snack? Can someone please bring us water? You bitches can DoorDash just like everybody else. They want people to bring them stuff. Welfare revolutionaries. And I loved the expression that reporter put on her face when the reporter asked, didn't you put yourself in this position? Like, by nature of being here and doing what you're doing, did you not just put yourself in this position? Seems like what you did. Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you. Top of this very first hour on Wednesday. And it went down last night at some of these college campuses. If you guys saw, it's been pretty amazing. I was watching a lot of it, and they were arresting people in Columbia. That was a student at Columbia. Kane said her page was taken down. This woman, her name is that, first off, before I say the last name, is that actually her legitimate last name?
Yes.
I've never seen a name applied to someone whose appearance doesn't support it, but okay. Her last name is Johanna King Slutsky. Mr. and Mrs. Slutsky's daughter.
That's true.
Slutsky.
Yep.
Just like you would spell it.
Exactly.
So, Kane, that's a new word from now on. Slutsky. She's a Columbia doctoral candidate, a moron also, who is agitating at the protest on campus. The college took her website down. She had a little website, you know, like a little subsite on the college website, and they took it down because she was out there making a fool of herself. Welfare revolutionaries, they were begging, please, can we, it's Great Expectations, or not Great Expectations, Oliver Twist. Can we please have some snacks and water? They were, the irony of these people demanding humanitarian aid. This is the same university where they were blocking Jewish students from entering actual buildings to go to class. And it's one of the reasons why the college had to suspend classes, because it was unsafe because of people like Ms. Slutsky. I wanted to enunciate, Kane. You know, you'd laugh at me, but I wanted to make sure I got that consonant in there.
It's an important talent to have in radio.
Yeah. She describes herself as an expert for progressive and leftist causes. Why do they all have a particular look? Like, they're all, can I just say what we're all thinking? They're all ugly. Let's be real. You know, if you can't be hot, be a revolutionary, right? Isn't that how it goes today? If you don't got it, you know, looks wise, then try to go out there and agitate, get yourself some attention that way. So she was being grilled by this reporter who said, it seems like you're saying we want to be revolutionaries, but would you please bring us some food? I watched literally on one video where a protester at Columbia was walking around with cans of Coke or cases of Coca-Cola. And then someone goes, it's a Zionist company, man. And the guy was like, I know, but you know, he went some Coke. It's just good grief. But I want to start off the show, though. I do have a good thing. And this was a very this was a really, I thought, uplifting story. And this took place, if you follow me on social media, you see this. It took place at UNC Chapel Hill. And, you know, they had protests at UNC Chapel Hill, riots, I should say. And they had a group of pro-Hamas rioters that took down this U.S. flag. And they put up in its place like a Hamas flag or Gazan flag or whatever. I mean, you vote for them and you love them, so it's kind of the same difference. And then the police arrived and they took that flag down and they put the American flag back up. And there was a photo that was captured by, I think, a fellow student named Parker Ali. And it showed I think this is the photo of the year. It showed a group of fraternity brothers at UNC. You know, the much described frat bros. When everyone talks of toxic masculinity, they always talk about frat bros. And I think frats get a bad rap, personally. And it showed this group of dudes, these fraternity brothers at UNC Chapel Hill. They saw what was happening. These guys saw the police trying to replace the Gaza flag with the American flag again and put it up. And the rioters ran forward and they were trying to tear the flag away and tear it to shreds. And this group of fraternity brothers, which I think is the photo of the year, they protected that American flag from these pro-Hamas rioters. And in the photo that Juan's going to show you in the simulcast for the radio program, they were holding it up so that it wouldn't touch the ground. It's not raining there, by the way. They're being pelted. Yeah. They're being pelted with rocks, other debris, water bottles, all kinds of stuff, sticks. And they were screamed at by rioters. These fraternity brothers at UNC Chapel Hill stood there for an hour until the rioters lost interest and energy. And they protected that flag. They wouldn't allow it to touch the ground. And they would not allow the rioters to grab it, rip it from the flagpole, and tear it to shreds. And they endured assaults. They were assaulted. And I love this group of dudes. I love the guy's expression. One of the dudes in the front who's got a blue shirt on, and he's standing in front of his brothers protecting them. And he's just smiling, and he's recording all of these angry rioters. This is the photo of the year. I think this is the photo of the year. All of these guys. One of the frat brothers is a student. He's a freshman in college. His name is Guillermo Estrada. He's a military kid. His family's military. He talked about how his family served, and his family came to the United States. And they create, and he's in the picture. He's pictured in there. He's kind of under the flag, so it's a little hard to see him, but he's in there. And Guillermo Estrada, his family came to the United States. They became citizens. They served the country. They, you know, became Americans. They became, built the American dream. And he said it enraged him to see these rioters disrespect a symbol of what his family fought hard to attain. And I would imagine he's not the only one there with a story like that. So when you hear all of these stories of these moronic, and here's video of this, these moronic rioters, you need to remember this fraternity at UNC Chapel Hill. And there's video of them in the simulcast. They're holding the flag up. They would not allow Old Glory to touch the ground. And I love in the background the guy that's holding up the Israeli flag, you know, America's ally, just out there in the quad for support. And all these guys are holding up the flag. And then the abuse started. It is just a photo for the ages. So shines a good deed in a weary nation indeed. I love this so much. There was, I got to say, this is one of the reasons why I love the internet too. And they stood like that for an hour, by the way. So they're, it's Phi Kappa Phi. Pi Kappa Phi. That's the frat. And now the country seeks to repay the good deed by doing what Americans do best, throwing them a rager. So there's literally a give, sin, go, I believe, that's out there to throw these good lads a rager. They deserve it at the end of a trying year with all the finals And then at the, in the thick of it all, the most stressful point in college, these young men stood and faced a brain terrorist mob. God bless America. If I was the president of UNC Chapel Hill, each of these lads would be getting a scholarship. Take it from the damn endowment, or you know what? Take it from the students who you kick out on their asses and give these lads a scholarship. Well done, boys. Well done, men. Yeah. That's that toxic masculinity for you. I love it so much.
And this just to clarify, it's a GoFundMe.
It's a GoFundMe.
I just put the link in there, and I can actually tweet it out.
I mean, I do believe these gentlemen deserve a good way to end the year. I mean, it's the least a grateful nation can do, ladies and gentlemen. So there's some good stuff there. One of the things that I've noticed is I've seen this, and in some instances this is true, but this is not true in every instance. I have seen a huge effort to try to portray these writers as all being outside agitators, and they are not. They had, I was looking at this, one of the lists for arrests, like in Florida, they were all Florida students. The protest at Florida University, every single one of them but two people that were arrested were students there. I think that I want to be careful because I do think that there is this huge effort to portray everything as outside agitation, and it's not. Is it being funded by outside sources? Of course it is. But it's not outside agitators, and here's why I think it's dangerous to keep pushing that narrative. You're ignoring the problem that's been festering on college campuses for over 20 years now. These are protesters who watched their parents' generation and their grandparents' generation, like back in the 60s and 70s, do all of this stuff. The Chicago DNC, the Weathermen, all of this. And they're trying to like recapture the glory days of what they think protests were. And you know what? Protests now are as much as they ever were then. It's a bunch of sad sack loser commies who come together and try to create confusion and chaos, and they rain destruction. There's no difference. I mean, I think some of the fashion's still the same. There's no difference. But I want to be really careful in not allowing them to skate, because this is what these universities built. It is not all outside agitators. I think that's maybe an exception. That's not a rule. And in a lot of these arrests that I've been seeing, it's outside agitators aren't even making up half of the arrests. So I do want to be careful in that. You don't need outside agitation. These universities have been creating little Castros for years now. They don't need outside agitators because they grew them within. We have a lot more on the way, including Joe Biden now wants to resettle Gazan quote unquote refugees in the United States. Well, that's one way to get multiple terror attacks. We're going to talk about that coming up. So there's a company that I just started using called Ammo Squared, and Ammo Squared helps you stay stocked up on ammunition, like automatically. It's a truly automated system. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program, and you can pick whatever caliber you want. You can set your budget. You can select your shipping, and that's it. And the cool thing is that it builds up, your ammunition builds up over time, and it's stored in this climate-controlled warehouse, and it sends it automatically when you want it, when you have it selected to send. And ammunition is a hard asset. I mean, it's something that's tangible. I think we all remember the uncertainty, like back in 2019, 2020, when there were certain calibers that were kind of hard to find. And we ended up calling, some of our retail friends and saying, when do you get a shipment of this? Can we get some? Can we lay claim to some when it comes in? And in times of uncertainty and inflation, the value of all this stuff only goes up. So Ammo Squared is there to help smooth out the rough spots of ammunition availability. It's like an ammo 401k or something like that. You set it up. You have ammo for that rainy day when store shelves are empty and ammo's hard to find. So you can learn more and you can sign up today at ammosquared.com and ensure that you're prepared for whatever may come your way. That's ammosquared.com.
Biden has to spend even more of your kids' and grandkids' credit cards. After last week's poor GDP numbers, it's going to be much harder for businesses to grow. We don't need economists to lie for us on TV. We see stagflation on the ground.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I can tell Kane really hated this headline because he added when he sent it to me, quote, "This is complete redacted. High fat diet fuels Alzheimer's disease," says a study. I know. It's a study they published in the journal Nutrients, and it suggests that tiny molecules could be the missing link, blah, blah, blah. And if you have a high-fat diet, it could maybe play a role in Alzheimer's. Everything develops a role in Alzheimer's, apparently. Just good grief. At some point, you're going to die. Just know you're going to die at some point. Yeah. Almost 1 million Americans are owed money from the IRS. I think it's time we raided their houses. Bust up all in. Where's our money? Where's our money? I think we do the IRS the way that they do all of you. All of us. There are only 2 weeks left, though, for you to claim. IRS typically allows a three-year deadline for you to get your tax refunds. More than $1 billion is not claimed from 2020. The average payout is $939. The deadline for 2020 to claim it is May 17th. And it was extended a month because they said that people would have forgotten about refunds owed COVID. I do not forget anything that the government owes me. Again, litigious as all get out. I do not forget. Pepperidge Farm remembers. New York Post. Gosh, why do people do this? Drunk Yellowstone tourist kicks a bison and then injures himself before getting arrested. You must be drunk to go and pick a fight with a bison. An Idaho man was arrested. He kicked this bison. He was drunk as a skunk. Clarence Yoder, sounds right, approached the bison near the 7 Mile Bridge just a couple days ago. And rangers were alerted to reports of a man harassing a herd of bison. He kicked one of them in the leg, and it didn't hurt the bison, but it hurt himself, thankfully. They tracked down the vehicle Yoder was traveling in. They charged him with being drunk, endangering him in disorderly conduct, creating or maintaining a hazardous condition, and approaching and disturbing wildlife. And you know, if he would have gotten trampled, his family would have sued. That's the type of people we're dealing with. So this is from Popular Mechanics. After 96 years, archaeologists finally found the missing nose. What is that, of the Sphinx? They say that they've announced the discovery of the missing, and it was in pristine condition, apparently. They're going to try to figure out how to unite it. Something, I don't know. Try to figure, okay, that's what you're, and it's going to take a mighty effort. Also, let's see, we have white-collar job growth has stalled hard. We got a lot more all coming up as well. 2024 stuff. The newly released wolves are doing exactly what you thought they would do in Colorado. Wait until you hear this story. Stick with us because we have, you know, it's awesome that we have free radio. It's very nice that we do. Our partners that help make that possible, Gold Co., because we're probably, all our money is going to be worthless and we're all going to be in the desert eating cat food and you're going to have to, you know, I don't want to be like Fallout and have to trade with bottle caps. So like everybody get gold and silver, please. And so Gold Co. can help you because it can be super saturated and it's a volatile economy and I don't know, you just want to have a hedge against inflation with Gold Co. and they can help make it possible. Because here's the other thing, with Gold Co., they send out this free 2024 wealth protection kit. And they will walk through from like start to finish how the whole economy works with gold and silver, how gold IRAs work. They want to make it easy for you, not just to get, you know, like the tangible benefit of owning physical gold or silver, but so you can see how it affects your savings and how it's an overall part of your retirement strategy. They're incredibly transparent, no pressure. They have thousands of five-star reviews. And you could also get possibly $10,000 in bonus silver just as a listener, right? That's awesome. So get started today at danalikesgold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. Visit danalikesgold.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
This is not a movie. This is real.
Noticed if you were watching on the simulcast of the radio program that you can listen coast to coast to. You can also find us on where we're throttled to the to where like we get like maybe three views on X. X has so throttled us, it's almost pointless to even engage on that hellscape. Or if you're, you know, watching on YouTube, Rumble, or Facebook, the redhead that was standing next to Robert De Niro was Jesse Plemons. Yeah. Black Mirror, Kirsten Dunst's husband. He's in Fargo, all of that. He was standing right next to Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro was going off on these pro-Hamas protesters in New York. And he was saying, in what he was telling them was that Hamas said, you know, they're going to do it again, talking about Hamas on October 7th. And he's like, nobody wants that. And he was telling them that what they were saying was nonsense and yelling at them. Broken clocks can be right, you know, twice a day. They can be correct.
I suspect that they were protesters shouting some dumb stuff while they were trying to film something.
Yeah, because they are filming. I can't remember what movie they said it was, but they're filming. They're filming something. I can't remember what they said it was, but so he's out there. They were, I guess, on set, and they came over, and he starts yelling at him. And he had security around them, and you can tell, like, the lady in the video with the bun, and she's legit security, because they all have special pins and all this stuff, and I can tell by her jacket, you know, it'll be let out a little bit in the middle because it's covering her Glock or what, you know, her Smith pistol, whatever she's carrying. Usually, I think for the ladies, it's a Glock. But yeah, he had security there, and he was mad. He was. I mean, when you start turning people like Robert De Niro against you, you're not doing too well. But they don't care, because they already got the administration. So they don't care. It's far too gone for, think about this. Joe Biden, has he even tweeted any kind of condemnation for this? Because he tweets all the time about J6 stuff, and he tweeted all the time about Charlottesville. And say, you know, whatever you want with Charlottesville, that was a 2-day thing. This is more than a 2-day thing. Thankfully, nobody's been killed. You know, but I would say not, because there wasn't a will from some of these terrorist rioters to kill somebody. But he hasn't condemned it. I mean, they had, and I was trying to figure out there wasn't a source for it. I mean, a name for it, but the administration had come out and said that the president condemns the use of the word infantata, which, you know, they're talking about they're saying they want globalized infantata. They want a war. They want a genocide of Israel. That's what they're talking about. Just like when they talk about from the river to the sea, that means from the River Jordan all the way through what is Israel, all the way to the Mediterranean, thereby eliminating that sovereign nation. So they're talking about completely eliminating an entire people. And the president, the administration came out and said, oh, Joe Biden condemns the use of word infantata. Why couldn't he tweet that? Why does it have to be some unnamed stooge from the administration that says, well, Joe Biden says, why can't Joe Biden tweet it? I mean, this desiccated meat sack tweets about everything else. Why can't he come out and tweet about it? Why can't he say something? He got off Marine One. Have you seen the latest trick that his people do? Yeah. So that you can't see him stumbling all over the damn lawn trying to get back to the White House? He gets off Marine One. They've never done this for any other president. They have never done this for any other leader, because it gets in the way of their photo op, right? That's like your badass signature walking pose. When you're walking out of Marine One, you know, you salute and you go up to the White House. That's where everybody likes the photo ops, right? No. What Joe Biden's people are doing is they race towards him. They circle around him to block the cameras so that you can't see him stumbling back to the White House. No joke. I've never seen anything like that before. I was listening to some old dude, and he's kind of a moderate Democrat. And he was saying that he'd worked in previous administrations, saying he had never seen anything like that before. So when Marine One lands, they race around him and they encircle him so that you can't see him walking around. This is him walking out to the helicopter, but it lands in a different spot, I think, is what I don't know if there's like a hill there. So I don't know why but they have all of his aides, and that's not all of them. Like, there have been videos where you have all these people in suits, women in their wedges running out on the lights, crazy. But they don't want you to see him falling all over the place. So, I mean, he could say something like that. He could walk over to reporters while he's exiting Marine One. Like, do you remember Trump did that all the time? In fact, when Trump did it, one of my favorite, you could not have written this. I think I put this up on Instagram because I could not believe how everything just came together in that moment for the most honest, unedited soundbite and staging ever. And it was right after Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, right after Ginsburg died. And Trump got off Marine One, he was at a fundraiser, or he was leaving a fundraiser. And they had, didn't they have Candle in the Wind from Elton John playing over the PA system? Oh. And the press asked him about that. Trump's like, oh, that's too bad. It was the most surreal video. Not a single thing was edited. But he would go over all the time. I mean, Obama did. Clinton did. They went over there all the time and they talked to all the reporters. Biden could walk over there and say, yeah, you know what? This is ridiculous what I'm seeing on these college campuses. But he won't do it because he doesn't want to lose Michigan. You know that uncommitted vote? They're actually worried about that. And I think this is why he's made this proposal. The White House is considering bringing in Gazan refugees. And as you know, I don't say the word Palestinian because that's a fake word. Just like I don't call a guy who tucks up his schlong and call him a woman because he wants to wear lipstick and say that he's a woman. I don't do that because I believe in science. I also believe in history. Palestine is a non-existent fictional place that's made up by terrorists to try to go after their neighbor to the north. It has never existed at any point in history. It is not supported by antiquity. And in fact, it was named as out of spite by Hadrian after the Second Judean Uprising. And it was named after the Jews' enemies at the time, which were actual sailors from Crete. And they hadn't been in the area in like 200 years anyway. So there you go. So I don't say that word. I say Gazans because that's the location. So that's what we call it. So the White House wants to relocate Gazans as refugees. Oh, yes. They are proposing bringing Gazans to the U.S. as refugees. They said that they want to offer a permanent safe haven. And these documents were internal documents obtained by CBS. And they said that several senior officials across numerous federal agencies have been discussing options to bring in Gazans to the United States. And they want to use the decades-old United States Refugee Admission Program. I will tell you right now, I do not want anyone who voted for Hamas in my country. Nor should you. There's a reason why Egypt refuses to take them. There's a reason why Qatar refuses to take them. Well, they'll only take the Hamas leaders. There's a reason why Lebanon won't take them, why Syria won't take them, why Saudi Arabia won't take them, why the entirety of the Arab League won't take them. There's a very good reason why. It's not the United States' responsibility to shelter and admit as refugees people who voted for Hamas or anybody else. It's not our responsibility. That's the Arab League. If you want charity, you go with your hat in hand and you go ask the Arab League. Go and impress upon Egypt and Jordan and Syria and Lebanon and UAE and Qatar and Yemen and Saudi Arabia. You go and impress upon every member nation of the Arab League and you demand that they accept these Gazan refugees because the United States sure as hell doesn't owe anyone a thing. They won't even tell you what how many it would be. They don't even tell you. They said that the planes would require coordination with Egypt, and Egypt has outright refused to accept refugees. In fact, every one of those nations I just mentioned did. Do you want to know why? Because there's a history that when you accept those refugees, people who vote for terrorists, people who overwhelmingly support terrorists, people who think that terrorism is acceptable forms of resistance, and they define resistance as anyone that exists that we don't like, it creates problems. It created massive problems in Lebanon. The people who are unaware of this think it's no big deal. The people who don't know history think that it's no big deal. They should go back and read what happened the last time some of these other nations, which is why they don't take them, when some of these other nations accepted these refugees. Go back and read what happened. And so that's what the Biden administration is proposing. They want to resettle these refugees. I don't think they're refugees. It's not my fault. When you have this elected form of government, you're being represented by them. That's what it is. Now they say, well, it might be a relatively small number of people. I don't care. No. And so the United States continues to be, for some bizarre reason, the largest contributor of humanitarian aid to Gaza, which is basically all going to Hamas. Again, where's the Arab League on this? This is what the Biden administration does. We'll pay for and take care of all your problems, and we'll even volunteer to be used as a proxy force between Shia and Sunni over in the Middle East. But oh, heaven forbid, it's okay if you don't want to give us more oil because we're too stupid to drill it for ourselves. It's okay. This administration cucks itself. It is. It's the cuck administration. And their policies want to turn us into the United States of cucks. No, thank you. Now, I want to switch gears here, because remember when we discussed the story about wolves being released in Colorado? Remember this story came? Mm-hmm. Or they were going to, because they're endangered in Colorado, but then there's a huge kill zone that works throughout the Northwest, like in parts of Montana where, nope, they can be shot on sight. They're not in danger there. So they release all these wolves in Colorado. You know, all the people who, and I say this as an animal lover. I'm realistic. You know, when we talk about ranch life and all that and the difference between nuisance dogs and untrained working breed puppies that you're trying to, so hard to flex on, and you don't know a damn thing about training dogs to hunt, but whatever, there's a difference. Releasing a ton of wolves in an area. What do you think's going to happen? Well, exactly what happened in Colorado. So now the ranching community in Colorado has torn itself apart, come reports, because all of these newly released wolves are butchering the hell out of their cattle in just a matter of days. In fact, one rancher in 10 days lost five cows, lost five head of cattle because of this.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. Five head of cattle. And that's one rancher in 10 days. They also discovered dead yearlings, other ranchers did. And this proposition, it was Proposition 114. It required the Parks and Wildlife Commission to develop a plan to restore and manage gray wolves, et cetera, et cetera. So they just released all these wolves out. Now, in Colorado, you can't kill a wolf. I mean, you can't. And like I said, in kill zone parts, you can, like in other states, but you can't do that in Colorado. And so they said the ranchers are livid. And the state says that it's not their responsibility. How interesting is that? And they've actually, because they numbered the wolves, they know that these are wolves that were involved in killing these cattle. They've confirmed it. These are the exact wolves. They're naming them like Wolf 2309, Wolf 2312. Like they have, like they know it. It's confirmed. But the state says that it's not their responsibility. Not even kidding you. We got more to come. That's what's happening in Colorado. That's what happens, by the way, if you resettle people from countries that vote overwhelmingly for Hamas. If you want to know the link there. So set immigration politics aside for a moment. New diseases are entering through U.S. borders and infections. The University of Nebraska's Med Center has been tracking it. USA Today has written about it. All kinds of infections, diseases. Plus, you remember the medication shortages during COVID and remember not being able to see a doctor and long lines at the ER? So my advice is to prepare for the next disease or infection. Get out in front of it. Order a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. Now, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your house with essential prescriptions. And it comes with doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 different medical issues. And these are strong antibiotics for infections of all type, like strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, so much more. Plus, there's an easy doctor's guide you can follow, so you'll know exactly when and how to use it without a trip to the doctor or the hospital or the pharmacy. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes, and your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
To your point, I think that's where we've all, that's the place we've all been sitting and watching this, going, what the hell is going on? What are these universities doing? Why aren't they doing something? And I'll echo the horror that this does look like January 6th. What a terrible example for our students.
Oh, what happened? Like, I don't know. I didn't know. Like, these college campuses were like this, says the Nepo baby on MSNBC. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash with you. That's the, you know what I wanted to call it? That's the morning show on MSNBC. I wanted to call it, but because that works. You guys can't read my lips. I do that, see? What do you think happened? What do you think happened at these universities? They've been weaponizing this for years. And when the right said something, people like, you know, the babies at MSNBC flipped out like, oh, you're so mean. Free speech. What did you think was going to happen? We were telling you that this is where it's going to go because it always goes here. This is where it always goes without exception. Also, all right, so coming up.
It's a lot worse than January 6th, just FYI.
Yeah, because January 6th was like, an hour, 2 hours? Yeah,
it doesn't look like January 6th. It's way worse than that.
Yeah, and guess what? There's no Capitol Police shooting protesters. Yeah. So coming up, it looks like they're getting the, looks like those fine young lads at UNC Chapel Hill are going to have their rager. Because they're barely $1,500 away from their goal. Yeah, we told you about that last hour. They're the boys who protected the American flag from getting torn apart by the pro-Hamas rioters. It was a Pi Kappa Phi, and good on them. Good on those gentlemen. But we've got a lot. We got 2024. Democrats are a little worried about the blue wall. Is it going to hold? Is Trump going to break through it? He did in 2016, didn't in 2020, but will he prevail in 2024? We're going to talk about that. We got a ton of stuff, including one of the dumbest people for Congress that's ever run for office, ever. Wait until you see this. Stick with us. You guys are very familiar with the Sub-2K, Kel-Tec Sub-2K. It's a 9mm carbine. You can fold it in half. Nothing's changed since the last time we talked about it. You can fold it in half. It's Gen 3. So you have previous generations of this that you had to detach the optics on. You do not have to do that with the Gen 3 of the Sub-2K. And makes it easy to store. It makes it easy to deploy. It's just quick and easy. It's that simple twist and fold motion in either direction of that rotating fore end. It's patent pending. And so, again, you don't have to detach or reattach your favorite optics anymore. It takes Glock mags. Glock 19s fit flush. You can do Glock 17 stick mags as well with the extends passive grip. There's also an upgraded trigger redesigned for a lighter 5-pound pull, translating into improved accuracy. The operating handle, the action's been updated. Operating handle makes it all easy to rack. New internal buffer means softer recoil. It's a good carbine for everybody. I mean, it's fun to take out to the range, and it's easy to take out if you're going backpacking, whatever it is. Made in Florida, made in America, Kel-Tec, family owned and operated. To learn more about the new Sub-2K Gen 3, well, kind of new, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's KELTEC Weapons.com and tell them that Dana sent you.
And another significant part of the video was at the end. That's our flag, folks. Don't take over our buildings and put another flag up. That may be fine to other people, but it's not to me. My uncle died defending this country. And these men and women put their lives on the line. And it's despicable that schools will allow another country flag to fly in our country. So blame me for being proud to be an American. And I thank Commissioner Daughtry for putting that flag back up. We're not surrendering our way of life to anyone.
Well, where is this Eric Adams on every other day of the week?
Thank you.
Eric Adams had a Fetterman moment. Where is this Eric Adams at? New York City Mayor, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can catch the simulcast as well. YouTube, everywhere. X, although we're throttled, like there's no business on that platform. It's almost not even fruitful for engagement at all. And then, of course, you can find us Facebook, YouTube, all that good stuff. Channel 347 DirecTV, the simulcast of the radio program. So New York City police ripped down a Gazan flag because someone had hoisted it up over in place of Old Glory, place of the U.S. flag. And NYPD ripped it down and they put the American U.S. flag back up. And this was at Columbia University building. Well, this one was at City College. They hoisted it over City College. Officers had to arrest 300 people in a night of chaos because they had refused to disperse. They had refused to listen to the no trespass order, and so they were arrested as a result. They took 173 people from City College in Harlem, 119 at Columbia, where they were arrested on charges of trespass, criminal mischief, and burglary even. They had a bunch of officers storm Columbia. They had to go through an upstairs window of Hamilton Hall. Students had barricaded themselves inside. As you remember, yesterday they held three janitors hostage. They were not allowing students to enter for classes. And protesters covered their faces with their stupid picnic blankets, and then they were marched out unmasked and loaded onto three waiting NYPD buses. And the audio that you heard was Mayor Eric Adams berating the schools for allowing them to take down the United States flag and putting up a Gazan flag instead. It's just ridiculous. This isn't about raising awareness for anything with Gaza. I'm just so tired of this dumb narrative. This has been going on for weeks now at Columbia. Well, yeah, pretty much a couple weeks now. The first established encampment began on April 17th, but a lot of the protests were happening before then. And I also think, too, that maybe in some instances these are, I do believe that there are absolutely outside agitators, but I want to be careful with this. This is Audio Soundbite 5. So this is Columbia. They're claiming that their protests were led by people who are unaffiliated with the university, who are not students with the university. Now, listen to this, and I think there's some caution here.
This is interesting. We believe that the group that broke into and occupied the building is led by individuals who are not affiliated with the university. Sadly, this dangerous decision followed more than a week of what had been productive discussions with representatives of the West Lawn and
Camp. Well, we know that one of them was unaffiliated with the university because he's the terrorist who was on social media saying that he wanted to kill Jews and death to all Zionists. That dude. But I want to be very careful with that narrative because I feel like people are allowing wiggle room for these colleges to escape any kind of culpability. And Adams talked about this. Audio Soundbite 8, he was saying that a number of agitators, he said a substantial number, come from outside of Columbia. Listen to this soundbite.
It's been indicated by Columbia when they reached out that the substantial number were outside influences of, you know, you when you look at the wearing all black, covering your faces completely, those methodologies, you know, our intelligence division study this type of behavior across the globe. We just had a team that just returned from overseas looking at some of the methods that are being used with these actions. There's no coincidence that you're seeing these young people across the globe being trained with the same type of individuals. And that is our concern. It's more than just Columbia. It's more than what we saw at City College. This needs to be a clarion call for our country. These are our children, and we can't allow them to be radicalized like children are being radicalized across the globe.
Well, I don't think that it's the majority of it is outside agitators. And like I said, I feel like we have to be very careful with that. It's an excuse because these universities are culpable. They don't need to bring in outside agitators. Outside agitators don't need to go to these universities because these students have been radicalized at these universities for years and years. And you know this, generationally, they have been radicalized. Going back to the 60s, they have been radicalized. They don't need to bring in outside agitators. Now, yes, I think that there is absolutely some outside agitation there. But to say or try to intimate that it is in any way the majority of the representation, I think is a lie. And I think it's done purposefully to excuse what these universities have wrought. It really is. It's to excuse their culpability, to excuse accountability and their part in creating this horrible mess that we see on television screens and online from universities across the country. And I think it also allows Democrats to pat themselves on the back and feel a little bit better. Oh, no, it's not our, because that's their sacred place, right? The universities are their church. That is their church. And they're allowing themselves to say, oh, no, these are outside people coming into our spaces and radicalizing these. Oh, that's what it is. It allows them to also dodge accountability and ignore their role in all of this in helping to create this mess. I mean, they've contributed to it. So if they get to say, oh, no, these are all outside agitators. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. It's all outside agitators. These students, this didn't exist at these universities until the outside agitators came in. Do not allow these people to excuse themselves and dodge accountability. And that's what Democrats also are trying to do. That's why they're all giving this as an excuse so that they have plausible deniability, so that they can get themselves off of the hook for this. But that's not the case. Now, like I said, in some of these instances, it may be. Like, for instance, the University of Florida, however, only two of those people were actually not students. A lot of these other universities, when the arrests have come out, and when they post them mugshot by mugshot, it's student, 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 faculty, faculty, faculty. It's like very, I've seen very few that are actually not students. Now, again, I'm not saying that there aren't outside agitators, but it is absolutely not the rule. It is the rare exception. Now, Kane just shared that Karine Jean-Pierre just now, apparently, in the White House at the press avail, because we had talked about this last hour. Where's Biden with this? Biden has tweeted, goodness, about everything from J6 to Charlottesville. He hasn't tweeted anything about this. Loan he hasn't said anything about this.
Student loan forgiveness.
Yeah, the student loan forgiveness. He's been buying students' votes with student, quote unquote, loan forgiveness. And he did, we got, actually, I have a headline about that coming up. He did a bunch of that today. So Karine Jean-Pierre was asked during the White House press avail, okay, so where is Biden on this? Like, we haven't heard from him on this at all. Is he going to make any remarks? Is he going to say anything? And this was the response. Listen to this.
Dramatic images really across the country over the last 24, 48 hours, especially at the Columbia, UCLA last night, University of Madison, Wisconsin, other campuses. Has the president been monitoring this? And why have we not heard directly from the president about these protests that have taken over institutions of higher learning across the country, the police responses, instances of violence? Why have we not heard directly from the president?
So just a couple of things. The president is being kept regularly updated on what's happening, as you just stated, across the country. He is monitoring the situation closely. So is his team. And I would just add that no president has spoken more forcefully about combating anti-Semitism than this president.
So there he's monitoring the situation. That's all they can give. He's monitoring the situation. Well, Biden can't say anything about the situation because he doesn't want to lose Muslim votes in Michigan. He doesn't want to lose Dearbornistan. So that's why he's not saying anything. That's why he's also now trying to say, let's bring in some of these Gazan refugees that none of the other Arab countries will take because of the hellacious history and the violence and the destabilization and the chaos and the terrorism that took place in each of their countries when they tried this years before. He's trying to buy off Dearbornistan. So that's why he's not going to say anything. He wants to have his cake and eat it too. He can't even bring himself to actually himself condemn the use of infantata because he's a coward. He's a desiccated old coward. He's not a fit for leadership. He's not the leader. It's shameful. As much as they talked about J6, I would say, not to compare it with the virtuous motivations behind our American Revolution. The left always wants its own revolution, and they've tried and tried, and they love doing it no more than an election year. But now they're kind of in a sticky wicket because Democrats have tried to play identity politics for so long, and they feel division between all those identities because of Marxist critical race theory. And this is where Marxist critical race theory has always gone. And it's not just about black and white. It's about every different identity, replacing traditional economic class warfare with things that you cannot control, different identities, how you were born, where you were born, etc. And using that as the substitute for traditional economic class warfare. That's a Marxist school of thought. This has been happening. In fact, it was first introduced by Derrick Bell. I've been writing about this since 2012, back in the 60s in colleges. In fact, one of the big videos that came out in trying to warn everyone what was coming was Barack Obama hanging out with Derrick Bell, because Barack Obama was laying the groundwork for CRT being more widely applied now. And he was laying the groundwork for that all the way back in 2008. So, and even before then, this has been going through college campuses since the 60s. And Derrick Bell was the academic, along with two others, that introduced Marxist critical race theory into higher education. And it has just exploded since then. And Democrats have weaponized this as a way to hurt Republicans. But now they find themselves in this very difficult situation. They are now compromised by all the different weaponized identities that they used to actually attack the right. Now it's being turned on them because each of these different identities are now demanding that Democrats show fealty to them. Well, you can't bend the knee. You can't sit here and play identity politics based on religion and bend the knee to one group and then not the other group. And then if you bend the knee to one group, well, then you're turning your back on the other group. Democrats now are in this very difficult position, like with the instance of feminism and then the trans movement. You can't have both, right? They always did a lot of lip service to Jewish Americans, but then now they want to try to get Dearborn a stand, so they can't do both. Very interesting predicament that they find themselves in. And Republicans are stupid because they're not exploiting that. We have a lot more on the way as we roll towards headlines. And as we do so, partners for this portion of our program, friends over at ReadyWise, they want to make sure you're prepared for whatever may come your way, because the last thing that you want to worry about in any kind of emergency is what you're going to feed your family. And so ReadyWise makes it easy by having American grown, American packed in an American facility, high quality premium survival food. They have an emergency 1 month supply. It's a 2 bucket bundle. It includes 36 pouches of premium survival food, 2000 plus calories, 50 plus grams of protein per day, and everything is made with high quality U.S. ingredients, freeze-dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, just add water, and it all has a 25-year shelf life. So the time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. Visit ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, so now they're trying to tell us that cavemen dined on plants. And so you don't need to think about the caveman diet, because even though we have canine teeth and we actually crave the protein that's found in meat. Oh, no, hunter-gatherers actually ate like plants. Shut up. No, they didn't. I'm so done with this stuff. Quit trying. The more I hear this, the more meat I'm going to eat. That's just it. How much meat you want me? I'll just eat more, okay? We'll just have more. Just to spite them. Done with it. Apparently, multi-state E. coli outbreaks over walnuts. The CDC is warning that an E. coli outbreak linked to organic walnuts sold in bulk has infected 12 people across California and Washington, those two states alone. They said, blah, 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 I don't care. Moving on. There's just, I really don't. American cancer in crisis. Apparently, depending on your age, you're most like in a bunch of other stuff, you might get the cancers. They're having the turbos. It's not the vax, though. It's not the vax. I mean, all this other stuff. If you just magically get cancer, if you've had the shot, you just magically get cancer. It's not the vax, guys. But they're saying in males, like prostates, 29%, breast cancer in females, lung cancer. Lung is number two in both of them. 12% and 11% women and men, respectively. That's interesting. And at the bottom for men, it's pancreas. It's about 3% for both. So it's kind of, if you want to look at that stuff. I look at stuff and I immediately think I have everything that they're talking about. Quality of life in Los Angeles has reached a new low, lower than the previous new low. It was rated so poorly in a quality of life study that the only solution is, well, let's have some Kool-Aid, Jim Jones style. I'm joking. Not really. They said that the weather's hardly making up for it. UCLA has been polling Los Angeles residents when their campus isn't being torn apart by terrorists about their overall quality of life. And they've been doing this since 2016. And they said that the ratings have dipped to a new all-time low, with everyone citing housing and the rising cost of living as the biggest reason for their dissatisfaction. I mean, great, I have to step over human poop and needles, but the weather's so nice. I mean, it's true. A car landed vertically on an Ann Arbor street sign after a drunk driver hit a wire. No injuries. Kind of amazing how this happened. It literally impaled itself, like the wheel well on the sign, which like held it up. That's a strong sign. Like, who put that sign in? Who's the city worker who put that sign in?
Building bridges.
Yeah, they need to be building the bridges. Zaps me. Police said a 24-year-old woman was driving the car with three other. Only a woman would be able to vertically land a car like that on a street sign. She struck a wire attached to a pole, and it caused the car to land on the sign. No one was injured. She did have a blood alcohol content of 0.17, so yeah, you can't be doing that. Gender-neutral lavatories have more germs than single-sex ones, and we all could have told you this. All of us. All of us could have told you this. We have more on the way, including 2024, that blue wall. We're also going to get into, well, the latest with the refugees from Gaza. Stick with us. All the other coffee out there is just trash. It really is. This is a veteran-owned and veteran-run coffee company, and they hire veterans and active duty. And they, the discipline that they had when they were out in the field, when they were out on mission, this is the exact same discipline that they bring to making this coffee. They get the best beans. They have the most perfect roast. You have a ton of different roasts to choose from. I've been so into the Tactisquatch lately, although I like Silencer Smooth. And of course, you got the Thin Blue line, which supports our law enforcement as well. And every bag is roasted right here in the U.S. of A, 5 days a week, Tennessee and Utah. You get ground coffee, the whole beans, K-cups, ready to drink. You got apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, everything that you need for the perfect cup of coffee. You can save 20% using code Dana. So visit blackrifflecoffee.com, try code Dana. You're going to save yourself 20%. Join the coffee club so you can choose your roast frequency of shipment and get it shipped for free to your front door. Only at blackrifflecoffee.com. Order today, get 20% off using code Dana. That's blackrifflecoffee.com.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's your current assessment of the risk to the U.S. Milk and meat supply from the bird flu epidemic in cattle?
Yeah, so I know that the Department of Agriculture has been on top of this. I know that they are not seeing any concerns to milk or any of the cattle or the meat or meat that we're consuming. Well, I don't consume a meat, but some of you, all of you out there. And so obviously they are taking this very seriously. They're monitoring the situation. As far as we understand it to be, is that they believe that milk and consuming meat is safe.
And from a
meat. But you know what today is? Yeah. So awkward, but we got to do it. What's today, guys? What's today? What? Oh, gonna be May. We have to do this every year. Bear with us. We have to do it. And for the people listening to this via simulcast, like, what the hell just happened? Right. Well, sorry, but those entities don't pay for the licensing. We just had played NSYNC's, what is it, song? What's the song called?
It's going to be me.
Is it going to be? No, it's going to be meh. Because that's meh. The way everybody said
it's
stuff.
It's going to be meh.
She almost, Karine Jean-Pierre in that clip, I think she was getting paid every time she said meat. Almost did it. Meh. Welcome back, Dana Lash here with you. Can I just real quick, sidebar. Why was it during the early aughts, people, and by people I mean pop singers, struggled with vowels?
Yeah.
Bae, bae. Why did they struggle? Meh. They all sounded like they were bleating. Yeah. Bae, bae.
Sometimes it's an effort to make it rhyme with something that was a couple lines before.
I blame Britney Spears. And the vocal fry, bah, 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 bah. Like, what the hell is that? Like, was that a goat? Bah. I mean, that's, what was that? But they all struggled with the vowels in the early aughts. Y'all, in the late 90s, it started in the mid to late 90s. There was a thing that happened, and all of a sudden the songs got weird, and you were listening to it like, wait, is that a word? What? And then, you know, Justin Timberlake with his ramen hair. Saying it's gonna be meh, like what is meh? Did you just bleat? Like meh? I wonder if you played that in a farm in a field, would all the sheep go? I'm wondering. All right. Did Michael Jackson do it? Juan says Michael Jackson did it. Did he do the vowels like that?
I'm sure he did.
I don't know. Mama I don't know say, that I've ever listened to that.
Mama say, mama samba makusa.
Okay, that was, I don't know what that was. But we all sing it when we hear it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And then you all act like you know what each other's saying, right?
That's true. I think you're right. I think Michael Jackson did do it in some of those choruses and stuff.
My favorite still, and then I'm going to move on. And this is, guys, if you're ever like, you know, anywhere in public dancing and maybe it's like a first date kind of situation, you should have the DJ play Holla Back Girl just so you can see if your date can spell bananas at the end. Because if she can, then okay, you can continue the date. But if she can't, that girl's dumb. Your kids will be dumb. Run. You know when they go that that stuff is bananas. And then you'll have girls out there going, bananas, it's bananas. Anyway, all right. We got to move on. All right, as we do so. I don't know what happened. It's just crazy. Can I share with you this absolute airhead? This is so dumb. I am embarrassed for this chick. Who is this chick? She's a girl who would go, meh. She, why is the left obsessed with trains? This is a very Atlas Shrugged kind of thing. Because in the book, they're all obsessed with trains. They think that trains are the panacea for all the world's problems. So this chick, who is a candidate for Senate, I guess, out of Utah, I don't know if it's a parody account. I don't think this is a parody account. It's an actual thing. And she writes, she tweets with a picture of herself in a train yard. Awkward. Quote, how cool would it be to build a nationwide passenger railway system to revitalize our public transportation and make it affordable and accessible for all Americans is what I will work for in the U.S. United States Senate. It's like in high school when somebody's running for student council, you know. I'm like, I will make sure that no homework is given on Fridays. It's like the kind of promises that they make. Why do they always go to trains, though? I mean, did you see, and of course she's a Democrat. If I didn't mention that, I didn't need to because, you know, isn't Amtrak like a union job thing? Isn't that a union job program, Amtrak? Has she ever ridden on Amtrak before? And why would you ride a train across America when you could just hop a flight and do it for cheaper and or hop a flight and do it, well, you know, pretty cheap, but you would save a lot of time. Like, think about it, 4 hours compared to however many on a train. That's so dumb.
Yeah, if I want a scenic trip across the United States, I want to drive it.
And they always go, again, to old stuff. Trains are old. Let's go back to old tech and old transit. They always do this. They, like Gavin Newsom, wanted a train from, what was it, Los Angeles to San Francisco. I'm not kidding you. Yeah. How many billions did they say it would need? A couple hundred billion to just like,
yeah,
keep going?
Yeah, ridiculous amount of money.
Literally from San Fran. I would, for $300 billion, I'll rickshaw you from San Fran to L.A.
Let's poop on you.
Yeah. This is crazy. They all do this. They all go to this. These are the extent of their policies. Doesn't make sense. And this is one of the reasons, too, this kind of stuff. So this Politico piece, Trump's trying to dismantle the blue wall again. That would be a disaster for Biden. So you guys know what the blue wall is, right? That's Rust Belt states. And that's, you get into, it's Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. And Trump did it against Hillary Clinton back in 2016. But that was a weird election because it was Hillary Clinton. Literally no one likes her. Democrats don't even like Hillary Clinton. They're not fans of her. And so and Biden barely won it in 2020. He literally only won Pennsylvania and Wisconsin by 1 point. And he carried Michigan by 3. Public polling is, unreliable and temperamental and very, very flaky. You can't rely on public polling because when we've talked about the problem with polling before, you're immediately biasing your survey pool because all of this is done with landlines and literally nobody has landlines anymore, you know, except for like, no offense, but you know, maybe some live. I have people who listen to this radio program or watch the simulcast who are the elder generations. And they're like, we don't even have landlines. I don't know who has landlines anymore. I really don't. I don't know who has them.
Hotels and hospitals.
Yeah, so you can't really, you know, that's not where you're going to survey. So they said that this blue wall, they're very concerned about this because they are, I mean, they're basically in a statistical dead heat when you factor in the margin of error. But my concern is that why in the world is Trump in a dead heat with Biden, who is the worst president I think we've ever had? You know, when I asked everybody last week, the people who lived through Carter and the people who, if you could compare him to Biden now, who do you think is worse? And out of like 6,000 responses, I think very few of them were Carter. It was very interesting to see that. And this, I think the idea that Trump is undefeatable, you got to be very, very careful not to get lulled into this, you know, sense of security, false sense of security and this apathy here, because it shouldn't be this close with Biden being that bad. It should not be this close. This is why Trump needs to literally, this is where I wish he was more disciplined. If he just focused on policy, particularly the economy and jobs and immigration, and he just hammered that nonstop, relentlessly, didn't talk about his trials or anything else. Because I think people realize the trial stuff is weird. Even if they're not giant Trump fans, I think they realize the modern or the regular average everyday person, I think, wonders, why is this? It's so weird. And they look at the Bidens and nothing's happening with Hunter Biden and everything else. That I think that sits with them. But the Bidens doesn't have a lot of longevity in the Rust Belt. And this is one of the reasons why he's kind of all over the place on it. And he was trying to, remember, he rolled back some of the new EPA restrictions where it concerned automobile manufacturing, and he's in a difficult position with EVs, and that's like a disaster that's looming. That's a whole other topic. But that blue wall, I'm telling you, I think I remember when Trump took Pennsylvania in 2016, I was like, oh, that's it. I was in New York when all this happened, and I was watching all the numbers come in live, and I was looking at all the exit polls, and I'm like, oh, this is done. I knew the moment before it had been called. I was like, this is done. This is it. There's no way that Clinton, Biden or Trump just Kool-Aid manned through the blue wall. There's no way Hillary Clinton's going to come back from this. And I saw it, too, with Biden in 2020. When Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, their numbers were coming in, I thought, oh boy, this is really going to be close and tough. Trump could do it if he's disciplined and he stays on message. And I think people need to help him in that and react to the stuff. When he talks about policy and hammers on that, I think there should be, remember, he responds to reaction. Everybody has a currency. He likes public support. That's his currency. And I think the more that people react to him hitting the hits, right? Talking about the economy and low taxes and look at the economy, it was like this, that serves him so well. And he can talk about that stuff better than Biden can anyway. Well, he can talk better than Biden can anyway. What am I saying? Right? I mean, yeah, it's true. Can we play some of this KJP stuff? Because the audio that is coming out of this is amazing. So the press avail. She keeps being asked, has Biden been silent? Like talking about the college protest. She's like, oh, Biden has not been silent. He hasn't even literally tweeted about this. Listen to this.
You mentioned what he said in 2017 after Charlottesville. He said about Trump's response then, Charlottesville for me was a moment where I thought silence would be complicity.
Yeah.
So how do you explain yeah. his silence this week?
The president has not been silent on this issue when it comes to hate speech, anti-Semitism. He launched the first ever anti-Semitism strategy to counter anti-Semitism, something that no other president did.
A school building at an Ivy League campus got taken over.
And we call that out, and we said that is not peacefully protesting. Taking over a building at a university or college is not peacefully protesting.
I don't think that you get to say anything.
We've been very clear.
When you were quiet with BLM.
Taking more than 100.
That's exactly. It's the same people that did BLM that are doing this now. And I don't think that you don't get to be like, well, that's not a form of, because you guys were calling this all mostly peaceful protest this whole time. They were calling that mostly peaceful protest this entire time. You don't get to sit here and go, oh, no, that's not protest. Now, you set this up and enabled it and made it happen because you were all quiet during all of the stuff with BLM. I know we got to get moving. We got Florida Man on the way as we do so. If you haven't switched to Patriot Mobile, but you're like, oh, I don't do Netflix or anything like that because I don't want to donate to the left. If you have not switched to Patriot Mobile, you're already donating more to the left than you ever would have if you were using Netflix or anything else that you think is progressive owned. I promise you, you're donating probably 2 to 3 times more, because these cell phone companies with their political action committees, you would fall over if you knew the chunk of your bill that went to that. The chunk of your money that went to abortion on demand, taxpayer funded advocacy, that went to DEI in schools, that went to all of the stuff that you're voting against every time you go to the ballot box. So why haven't you switched? It's not like Patriot Mobile doesn't make it so easy. They practically come to your house and do it for you. In fact, that may be their next service. I don't even know. You're going to get the best coverage across the country because they have the best coverage on all the dependable coverage on all three major networks. But you're also getting a plan that's going to be tailored for whatever you need. Families of all sizes, businesses of all sizes, singles, not singles, whatever. Free activation using code Dana. And they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. So they make it super easy to switch. I mean, for crying out loud, it's the easiest thing that you will do today to switch. And it takes you minutes. You can keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. The choice is yours. Also super easy. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use my name, Dana, and get free activation. Promo code Dana. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So that's what happened with St. Petersburg, Florida. Bad decisions from a roadway rage accident when a Florida man got fed up with the glaring headlights of another driver. It was in Pinellas County. Nolan Goines, 46, was charged with battery. And according to the arrest report, it started over headlights. And so he threw pasta sauce from the passenger seat of his vehicle and struck the driver of the other car through his open window. And the pasta hit the victim in his arms, legs, and torso. He was uninjured. Why would you? And this guy was booked. This was in St. Petersburg. It was about 9 p.m. on Thursday of last week. And he went to jail, was taken into custody. He posted $1,000 bond, so he's out. I mean, that's assault. And I would imagine, is there probably like an additional elevated thing because they were in a vehicle? I don't know. Let's see here. One Florida man, it's like 44 pounds. I don't care about this one. I want to do the Wawa rampage. Wawa. So, this woman, police said, was experiencing excited delirium. A Florida woman stabbed a man in a wild Wawa rampage, before threatening employees and smashing computers, say police. Christina Crane, 37, was charged with attempted felony murder, criminal mischief, and aggravated assault, and aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. Pinellas County or Pinellas Park Police Department dealt with the situation. They think that she may have been under the influence at the time. And she was in a state of excited delirium when she entered the store. She told one office worker, "I will kill you." And she actually was going to try to stab a female office employee in the head. She was swinging a knife around. Oh my gosh, she crashed computer monitors. They said about $1,000 worth of property damage. What in the world? She's crazy. She looks crazy. Look at her face. Look at those eyes. Gents, let me explain something to you. And all my sisters out there, y'all agree with me. Listen to us ladies when we tell you crazy women have a look. They got a look. It's in the eyes. That woman's got crazy eyes. Look at her eyes. She's crazy. You see people with crazy eyes like this, I don't care if they're pretty. I don't care if they're fit. You run the other way because you will live in a living hell. Run the other way. I'm helping you. My brothers, I'm helping you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The biggest meth bust in Orlando history landed a guy, a Florida man, behind bars. He had 150 pounds of meth plus all kinds of prescription medication, thousands of pressed pills, cocaine, all kinds of stuff, like $1 million worth of stuff. So they seized, and he had tons of fentanyl on him too. 35-year-old George Boheas of Orlando, the DOJ said. So he's going to be in prison for a longy timey. Stay with us. Third hour on the way.
The anti-Semitism bill that Mike Lawler has a definition that is so broad that many of the Jewish groups like J Street and Nexus and others cannot support. So why would you do that, except if you want to weaponize anti-Semitism and you want to use it as a political ploy?
weaponize anti-Semitism. She's saying that Republicans are seizing and pouncing upon the left's rabid anti-Semitism at the universities that they control. I think it's already been weaponized. Say something nice. I don't have anything nice to say. Say something nice. I can't say anything nice. There's nothing nice that I have to say. Welcome to the show. Third hour. Top of it. Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast of the radio show as well. That was Premia Jayapal that you just heard. So ridiculous. It was dumb. They were seizing and weaponizing this anti-Semitism. I'm pretty sure that the anti-Semites weaponize the anti-Semitism, if I had to make a guess. Right, Kane? That's kind of how that goes.
Usually how it goes.
Usually how it works.
And it's weird how she would be condemning the calling out of anti-Semitism.
But not the actual anti-Semitism itself, though.
Anti-Semitism, that's really weird.
Yeah, not the actual anti-Semitism itself, just the calling out of it. So that's weird that she wouldn't actually condemn it, right? Yeah. You don't call it out. It's bad to acknowledge it, call out the anti-Semitism. You're weaponizing it by calling it out. That's what she's just saying right there. That's what she's saying. So I want to switch gears here. We've been talking about the protest and we've been getting into some other stuff. We'll have some economic stuff coming up as well. But we got to talk about this issue with the DEI in one aspect of American culture that is considered the last frontier. The diversity, what is it? The
equity, inclusion.
Dumb everybody idiots. That's what DEI stands for. It is. It's what it is. It's part of this Marxist CRT effort. And you've seen it in movies. You've seen it in music. It's been in Hollywood. You see it in academics. And a lot of people think that if there is a slice of American life in which they do not participate, then it doesn't affect them. Which, as we've seen, that's an absolute lie. Right? We've seen due process eroded by going through the doorway of firearm ownership. And I've always warned people, just because you don't own firearms does not mean, that's a variable, does not mean that this formula cannot be weaponized against you as well. If they can cite something with firearms, they'll cite something with any issue. And there's one particular bit of American life that I think that conservatives are really weird about. And I think it's because a lot of them are just unfamiliar with it. And I've noticed that conservatives treat this industry now the way that conservatives treated Hollywood and academia back in the 40s and 50s. They gave up on it. They didn't think that it was a worthwhile investment of their time. They didn't engage. One of the two biggest at the time, academics and movies and music, Hollywood, arts and entertainment, the biggest distribution methods of information. And conservatives just gave up on it. They didn't get involved. We all know this. We all talk about it. What did they do? They retreated to their think tanks and their associations, and they went in elected office, and that's all well and good. But everything political first is a cultural issue. Again, DEI and CRT is just an example. It began as a cultural touchstone in college in the 60s under Derrick Bell. And then it manifests throughout the decades to actual policy and law that we see today. Anyone who tells you otherwise is ignorant of culture, too ignorant to ever be taken seriously on any issue. It's dangerous to listen to dumb people. Politics is forever downstream from pop culture. So as I said, there's a particular industry that conservatives look at, and not just conservatives in the United States, but I think writ large, look at as though it's like Hollywood, it's like arts and entertainment and academia in the 40s and 50s. We shouldn't get, that's not us. We don't do this. We don't take part in it. We don't have anything to do with it. Some actually cast a wary eye on it. Some, the moment I mention it, they tune out. And you know what that industry is? It's the gaming industry. You would be shocked And how many libertarians and conservatives are in gaming? Shocked. And that's only if you are unfamiliar with the community. It is, yes, it's people sitting down and playing video games. And yes, I casually play. I'm not like a super serious gamer. I don't even use that to describe myself. There's only certain types of games that I play. And I enjoy them because it's escapist. It's away from politics. I always have to be doing something. I like to be engaged. I like to think, and I like stuff that requires the involvement of strategy, right? Requires strategy. And there's a lot of really, really great titles out there. And it's a place where everybody can go and get away from the noise of everything is racist or sexist or this or that or this or that, or it was anyway. And just like DEI and CRT came for your movies and your television shows and your stories and your songs and then your books and your degrees, and now it's even lowering the standards in medicine, and it's going after and lowering standards regarding science, and it's in our military, and it's everywhere else. Gaming has been the last frontier because, by and large, people look at gamers like they're weird, especially if they're adults. And that's not the case. And as Penn and Teller's brilliant episode of BS, the show that I can't say on air, they explored this a decade ago. It is absolutely mind-numbingly ridiculous to say that playing violent video games leads to violence. It is a gun control argument that some well-meaning but clueless conservatives have adopted to use to describe video games. Just know that you're literally using gun grabber formulation to now try to denigrate a perfectly acceptable recreational activity. And so by and large, they've ignored gaming and they thought it doesn't apply to us. It doesn't have anything to do with us. Well, it does, because a lot of your latest television shows are coming from gaming stories. A lot of your movies are coming from the video game realm. A lot of your stuff, a lot of music is coming from gaming now. It is the last frontier of non-PC, and it's under attack by DEI. We told you a few weeks ago about Sweet Baby Inc. They have these stupid consultancy firms, and these consultancy firms create themselves and they bestow upon themselves the authority of what you should be able to see in terms of what titles are published and which aren't. And you have to be DEI, you know, all of this stuff in order to be accepted. And if you're not, then they try to get a rage mob against you and shut you down and run you out of business and shame you. There have been people's lives who have been, there are people who have killed themselves over this. Entire companies have folded because of the rage mob. And it's running rampant in games because a lot of people don't know really how to handle it. They're unfamiliar with gaming. And they're doing it again. There's a story. It's a game called Stellar Blade. I don't play it. I mean, I like first-person shooter games and things like that. I want to be able to strategize on how to take down giant beasts. And I've not played this game, but it's a very popular game. So long story short, this game called Stellar Blade, some of the e-girls, I guess, are upset because they are mad about the female character Eve's outfit. And I find it incredibly ironic that chicks, and this is not all of them. I have, I know some really fantastic women who stream. They're on Twitch. They play games and they're engaging without having to show their boobs. They're engaging without having to act like whores. They're engaging and they play well. They actually play well. They're not like, oh, I'm a chick. I'm going to start a band and all I know is three power chords. Like they actually can, you know, play. But there's a small number of girls, these e-girls, that think that Eve was dressed too skimpily. And they were complaining about this while wearing necklines that went down to their navels. And demanding that video game characters do not dress as they do when they're streaming. Which I think is incredibly ironic. And it's absolutely a valid observation. And so they decided that the developers, they were being pressured to like, you know, we're going to have an update. We're going to give you some clothes. There was like, for instance, this holiday rabbit bunny suit. And they altered it and they were basically covering her up a little bit. Oh my gosh. And there were some players who were so tired of all of this fourth, fifth, 11th wave feminist nonsense and all of this other stupid stuff infecting games that they said, okay, you're censoring things now. We want a refund. And so they started refunding people. And then all of these chicks that were the original people that had a fit about a video game character's outfits are now going, can you believe that these people want refunds over this video game character's outfits? You see what I'm saying? And so now there have been some developers and some players that have stood up and said, we're tired of this, and they're pushing back. And they're like, you know, save Stellar Blade. I see there's a petition trying to get it to go back the way it was. And everyone's saying it's like Gamergate 2, which was the first, Gamergate 1 was the first blow up. Now, it sounds like it's silly. You might think because you don't play video games, this is so dumb. Why are people upset over this? But it's not the outfit, and it's not the refund, and it's not any of that stuff. It is the fact that here you again have another instance of this stupid woke scold movement trying to go out and pressure game developers and these publishers into changing or altering things. They're going through it with Warhammer right now. And there's a all-male class of warriors that they're now trying to say, oh, well, there's females in it too. They're revising their canon so that they can be more female-friendly. They're female-friendly already. They have an all-female warrior tribe already. You don't need to insert women in the male all-warrior tribe. You don't need to do that. The custodes, you don't need to do that. This is what I'm talking about. It has nothing to do with outfits. It has everything to do with hijacking and colonizing game spaces and turning them into absolute crap. That's what it is. They want everything to be like Borderlands, where you are awarded, after you beat the boss, the final boss, you're awarded by a rainbow color unicorn called Butt Stallion and a trans warrior. What? Yeah. They want to make everything like Borderlands, which is so annoying. I almost want to vomit rainbows. I couldn't even, I was done. I deleted it. I was done. This is what I'm talking about. Yes, that was the Tiny Tina DLC, but you understand what I'm saying. So you need to pay attention to this stuff, because I guarantee you, your kids are, or your grandkids are. And this is what they like to do. And they're, the stuff that they like to do and the places that they like to go to escape this nonsense is under attack. So where are you? Just because you're not involved in it doesn't mean you shouldn't speak up for what's right. You speak up when DEI is getting people fired at their workplaces. You speak up when you don't want to have to change your pronoun usage. This stuff is happening in gaming now. And it is the last frontier. Don't be like the conservatives back in the 40s and 50s with Hollywood and academia and turn your head and then bitch about it 20 years later when another slice of American life is taken over. Stop giving them pie slices. They're taking the whole damn dessert. Stop. There's a whole petition that you can go to. It's Save Stellar Blade. They have a petition where you can go and sign online as well. Got to pay attention to this stuff, because I guarantee you your opposition is.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So California, their population has grown. Gavin Newsom wants you to think it's because people are fleeing red states and moving to California, but it's not. It's because of illegal immigration. They're saying, oh, well, they've been adding people for the first time since 2020. But are they here in the United States legally? The answer is no. Also, Elon Musk launches the XTV app. I don't know how this is going to go. I feel like you need to fix all the algorithm problems with X first. But he's released the long-anticipated launch of XTV. He wants to turn the site into an everything app, which will be compatible with most smart devices, except for Substack. The Tesla founder shared a 12-second trailer on X, and they unveiled the logo and all this stuff. So it's that's where everything's going. It's going to be and I think the everything app, that's exactly what, I mean, that's what you should, I mean, he's smart to do it, and that's what it's all going towards. This, the Waymo, that's one of those self-driving cars. The Waymo, a self-driving car, was spotted plowing down the wrong side of the street. A video in downtown San Francisco making the rounds showing this autonomous vehicle just driving fast down the wrong side of the road in San Francisco. And it looks like it was trying to overtake unicyclists, and it took over the entirety of the oncoming lane. And they managed to stop the vehicle, but the company was arguing that it's robo-taxi in a statement to San Francisco Chronicle. Oh, it did the right thing. It swerved into the oncoming lane. That's what it, yeah, did it though. That sounds crazy. And they're all in, all these cars have problems in San Francisco. That's just wild. We have more in store. Stick with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So if someone from land in Gaza shoots at our service members who are on the $320 million pier that we're building, you're telling me our service members can shoot back?
They have the right to return fire to protect themselves. Now,
well,
now
do we
again,
think that's like? So now I want to move to the likelihood that you think someone from land in Gaza might shoot at our service members on this pier. Do you think that that's a likely scenario?
That's possible. Yes.
So that was questioning of Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, and he was being asked by Matt Gaetz. There it was a congressional hearing. As to whether or not American forces that have been building that Biden floaty aid pier right off of a couple, what, 5 miles, not 5 miles out, how many miles out? It's just a like a maybe a mile out, not even that, from Gaza. Whether or not that could actually come under attack by Gazan forces. And Austin says yes. Why are we there then? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour. The Biden administration would have us do more for Gaza than any of the other Arab League nations surrounding Gaza. And we don't owe them a damn thing. We don't owe them nothing. Not a single thing. And they've already fired mortars at our service members who have been sent there to construct this floating pier so that we can send more billions of dollars of aid to Hamas. And that's what, and you can say, no, Dana, it's going to the Gazans, really? So tell me where it went the last time and why did Hamas end up with it? And the time before that, where did it go and why did Hamas end up with it? Explain that. I mean, you even had ABC doing stories on it. Like, explain that. It goes to Hamas. It's just wild. And so this, and this is all coordinated. All of this is coordinated. I mean, you have this ongoing stuff with Gaza, election year, and then the stuff on the college campuses. It's all coordinated. So that means then technically our forces then could be put into actual, like a military conflict with Gazan forces then. Because we're doing this for some reason. Why couldn't Egypt just give them aid? They share a border. Or Jordan. Or Lebanon. Or any of these other, why couldn't any of these other nations provide aid? Why do we have to provide the most? Why do we have to construct the pier? Why do we have to do any of it? I mean, votes have consequences and Hamas was elected. There you go. Not my problem. Just stunning. Absolutely stunning. Now, on top of this, Biden's just giving all kinds of money away. He canceled another $6 billion. Canceled. We all got more debt that we're going to have to pay. And it was 317,000 Americans that they said were scammed by an art school. And so that brings the total handouts to more than $160 billion right before the election. Jiminy. It is... stunning. It was the education department. They said that the school misled students about alumni success and they canceled. This is not something that should go to the taxpayers. I mean, I kind of feel like if you got scammed by an art school, then how do you get scammed by an art school? You just didn't do your due diligence and it's not everybody else's responsibility. It's just, it's not. It's crazy. So this is the latest. In addition to all of this, the $6 billion. They said that, and this comes down at, after the Supreme Court already ruled that he can't do this type of stuff, but he's doing it. It was the Art Institute of Philadelphia. They said that people who attended between January 2004 and October 2017 are going to see their debt erased. It's not erased. It's just given to all of us. $160 billion total now. Over 4.6 million votes. I mean, students impacted. Yeah. And why are we paying for Hamas rioters' tuition? How many of those students protesting you think had some of their debt already canceled? I mean, it's kind of a rhetorical, you know, it's a good number of it. I mean, it's kind of a rhetorical question. I mean, it's crazy. And so this is where they said this particular chain of this university, according to the government, they said they misled students about the success of graduates, blah, blah, blah. How is that any different from what the government's done with student loans? At least, you know, at least these people came out and said, yeah, it's a scam. I have no words. $160 billion total. And again, this is right. I mean, this is buying votes. It's right before the election. You're buying votes. I wanted to share with you this also. This is a piece from the Associated Press, and it's actually pretty stunning. Listen to this headline and tell me if you think what sticks out to you, okay? These cities raise taxes for childcare. Parents say the free daycare, quote, changed my life. Free? The city raised taxes. And these people, to pay for childcare. And these people, per the Associated Press, say it's free. That's not how free works. I mean, they literally raised taxes, then it's not actually free. You see what I say with the economic illiteracy in this country? It's not free if you're, I mean, but that's how the economy works, right? There are some conservatives that actually support this type of policy. The article states that it was in New Orleans, and it talks to these different parents that needed childcare, couldn't get it. And so the Education Reporting Collaborative, this is the thing that reports on this. They were saying that the city decided to raise taxes and fund a program called City Seats. And it's the daycare that is paid for by the taxes that is most certainly not free. And that's not what taxpayers should be doing in the first place. Why are taxpayers paying for, like property tax, all of that. You never really own your own property. Everything should be a graduated sales tax based on income. Actually, I think all taxes are. But if you're going to have something, then have that. I shouldn't be paying for your damn kid's school. I shouldn't be paying for daycare. I shouldn't be paying for anybody else's kids that ain't mine. Either take responsibility for your kids or keep your knees kissing. And don't give me sometimes people fall in hard times. I came from hard times. You don't make them easier in it, to basically take a line from Ben Franklin. You help them to get out of it. You don't apply welfare program after welfare program and keep people easy in this hard time. You help them get a way out of it. And you help by getting government out of the way, allowing, you know, not having a crazy excessive taxation. Not, for instance, making college tuition so unbelievably expensive. It's free. They raise the taxes to pay for the childcare, and it's free. And the AP ran that like a series. That was their headline. So you know that their headline writer, you know that the person who wrote that story didn't know any different either. I wanted to play for you, talking about DEI and everything else earlier, because it's in the church now. We're talking about gaming. It's everywhere. Gaming, everything. This is audio soundbite 19. And this, they had this, like, the UMC, United Methodist Church General conference, they had a big vote with UMC. Like, didn't they have a big vote as to whether or not they were going to accept, like, you know, all like all kinds of DEI stuff? And then some of the churches voted to leave the UMC. There was a church in our area that voted to leave it. So the UMC General Conference, they applauded themselves. I want you to listen to this soundbite. And this is one of the reasons. This is the sound of a dead church. Listen to this.
You have now had multiple opportunities to practice inclusion, and we wanted to report back on one of them, gender inclusion. Who was called upon to speak and who actually did speak in the plenary and legislative committees? So how did you do?
Combining the data from across 14 legislative committees, here is our report card today.
Oh.
Can you believe that?
51% female, 47% male. 1% non-binary.
Yes. Hey, folks, come on. You saw it here first.
This woman,
we've been working a
Paul
long time for this.
When he was writing that women should be quiet in the church, it's this woman that he had in mind. I'm positive.
Non-binary?
Yeah, what is the non-binary thing? If you're a church and you're focusing on every identity but being a child of the kingdom, you're doing church wrong. If you're a church and you're focusing on any other identity than being a Christian, you're doing church wrong. That is not, I can't stand this. I cannot stand this stuff because it's satanic. It's absolutely satanic. It's making an idol of political identity and putting that before God. It is satanic. All of the DEI, CRT, that's why. Because it's placing identity first, making an idol of it. That's your golden calf. And for them to do that in the church just goes to show you that even the devil can cite scripture. That's a sound of a church that is lost. That is a lost of this world entity. That's so sad. And that's why, by the way, tyrants, Marxists, that's why Karl Marx hated Christianity. He hated Christianity because Christianity cements is a recognition of God's place as number one over that of government, over that of tyrants, over that of any other ideology, over your race, over your any orientation, over any of that. No one cares about anything else. You're a child of the kingdom, first and foremost. That's it. That's your identity. Nothing else matters. To divide everything up by identity is to question God. It's sinful. That church, what those people were doing was sinful. And can I be honest? I don't want to see a woman stepping up and speaking and preaching in a church. I know it's like you're not supposed to say that stuff, but either you follow the Bible or you don't. I don't want to see any of that stuff. Get mad at me. It might be an unpopular opinion. I think I'm the oldest younger person of baby Gen X. I don't know. But am I wrong, Cain? It's biblical.
You're right.
Thank you. Cain knows all the books of the Bible. If you challenged him to a Bible book off, he'd win.
I would.
He would.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Transit. When will we put an end to this wacko policy by this wacko prime minister?
No. 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 That is not acceptable. There are a couple of things which are going on here today, which is not acceptable. And I ask all members, please, to keep themselves, to control themselves. I'm going to ask two things. One, I'm going to ask the Honorable Leader of the Opposition to withdraw that term, which is not considered parliamentary.
Mr. Speaker, I replace wacko with extremist. He is an extremist.
The Honourable Member to please. I'm going to ask the Leader of the Opposition once again to just withdraw that comment, please.
I'll
invite the Honourable Member. I'm going to ask.
This is the Conservative Leader of Canada's Party, Pierre Poilievre. He was ejected from Canada's House of Commons because he called Prime Minister Justin Trudeau a wacko. and an extremist during a question period. And he is a wacko, an extremist. You know, Pierre Poilievre follows me on Twitter, on X.
He does?
Mm-hmm. He's the guy, if you don't remember him, do you remember the reporter asking this Canadian politician stupid questions and the Canadian politician was eating the apple? And it was an amazing exchange. That's Pierre Poilievre. And he was being honest. And they were apparently were debating British Columbia's decriminalization of hardcore drugs. And that's something that apparently the Conservative Party was pushing against. And there was another Conservative MP that was also expelled. And I like that guy's name is Fergus, the Speaker. Speaker Fergus. Fergus. I love it. But he said, what Poilievre had said was, quote, when will we put an end to this wacko policy by this wacko prime minister? And they're like, oh, that's so disgraceful. In the United States, Democrat staffers are making porn tapes in the Senate chambers. But hey,
and publishing it.
But you can't call in Canada a wacko, because it's little Castro over there. Castro Jr., Trudeau. And so he was ejected from the chamber, and a bunch of other conservative MPs followed, by the way. So it wasn't just him. They had a lot of people standing with him, as they should, because that's ridiculous. I mean, what he was saying was true. So they were all in a fit over it. They were all upset. Goodness. Now, a quick note. So we're still doing it a day-by-day thing, whether or not I'm going to be on air tomorrow, because I've been on 2 weeks. I'm on call for federal jury duty, so I have to call in every evening, and we don't know if I'm going to be on air until the night before, which is super helpful for broadcasting. So if you get a rundown in the morning, if you're a subscriber at Chapter and Verse, then you know we'll be on air. So I don't know until, you know,
luckily
last minute.
It's done Friday.
Yes, done Friday. All right, today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right, looks like it is KJP today.
I am so surprised.
I know. All the stupid. It's crazy. Ducey was talking to her about the encampments, the matching tents, the reports of people actually, you know, there's organizations out there funding this. Juan, go ahead and listen to her.
Some of these encampments, they had matching tents. We're being told that there are professional outside agitators involved. We don't know if they're being paid to sow chaos by domestic folks or foreign entities. Does President Biden want his administration to find out who is fundraising these protests?
What I can say, I cannot speak to the organizations that are being reported that's on the ground.
Well, there
that
it is.
She can't speak to any of it. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal is. It's almost like this administration wants all this strife.
Yeah, I know. They can't. You know, he can't even denounce the Infantado stuff. That does it for us today, folks. Make sure you go sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Have a great night.